let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some art.
Kia ora, and welcome to Kick Arts, proudly brought to you this August by the Dolphin Theatre. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to your podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz or find us on Spotify. Well, they're actually our podcast, not your podcast, but you know what I mean. So on the show tonight, we are talking theatre and books. But to kick things off, here is Just Janie with their new track, Cherry.
Still exist within the world we used to live. Cherry red and hollow eyes. Oh, I'm haunted by your face in strangers.
Beautiful song. That was Just Janie, who actually is someone I hadn't heard of. So gorgeous. Now, another week. We're here. It's Sunday night, and I don't know where the week's been. It only feels like yesterday that I was sitting here talking to other guests. But tonight, I've got three lovely people in front of me. Joining us from Expect the Unexpected 3.0 Girl Power, we've got Zoe. I suppose I should turn your mics on, really, shouldn't I?
Maybe let's that might be helpful.
Yeah. So, hi, Zoe.
Hello.
And we've got Matilda.
Hello.
And Paige.
Hi.
Make sure we're right into them.
My gosh. You've got it sideways.
And so, first of all, let's start with you, Matilda. What is Expect the Unexpected 3.0 Girl Power?
Just a bunch of songs that are either unexpected to be performed or performed in an unexpected way. And obviously girl power, because we're all girls. So why not?
Yeah. Cool. So, Paige, what makes something unexpected?
You take something that you expect in a classic way, and then we take it and we turn it on its head. So if the audience comes in and they're coming in and they hear a song and they expect it to be performed the way it was in the original musical, we've totally done it a different way. So we'll take something that maybe was classically in black and white and we've just gone full fluoro, you know?
Fair enough. That's a good way to describe it. And, Zoe, I love it that you're laughing already. You don't even know what I'm going to ask you. Tell us a little bit about this experience, what's been happening.
Oh, wow, you really curveballed me this. No, it's been good. It's been fun. It's been a bit of a rush to try to get everything squished in together on only Wednesday nights after school when all the kids come and they're a little bit exhausted. But they've really pulled it out of the hat on this one. And I would like to say that if you know Stage Antics kids, this is probably the hardest that they've worked.
Nice. Nice. Cool there. So, Matilda, what's something that you're performing in this show that is unexpected?
Well, I'm performing in the Chipmunk song from Alvin and the Chipmunks as a trio. That's pretty unexpected.
That is pretty unexpected, yeah. So there you go. So when the ads say there's something for everyone, that means that it's something for younger people. And this is a family-orientated show. Like, there's nothing that's going to stop young people from coming to it, right?
Yeah, no, it's family friendly.
Yeah. And I mean, we've got quite a big cast of girls performing in this. Yeah,
yes.
Everyone's just nodding at me.
Yeah.
Everyone's
yes,
right.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, so there's 21.
I'm bad at maths. I can only count to 8.
Yep. Young female performers in this, ranging from down in 13, I think, is the youngest.
Yeah,
maybe 12. I think actually.
I think
yeah,
maybe 12.
Mm. Up to 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, what's been the most challenging thing for you, Matilda?
Oh, I think the level of dance has really stepped up the show. Thanks, Zoe. And I'm not a dancer first. So
oh, that's a lie.
I've really struggled with the choreography, but it has been really fun. Like, Zoe's done a really good job in choreographing everything. I think everything looks really good. But, yeah, it's been a struggle to try and keep up.
You're fine. Matilda's lying to you. She's actually a very good dancer.
There you go. And, Paige, what's been challenging for you?
One of our numbers, the Spellblock Tango. If you've ever heard of Chicago, you may recognize that name from the Spellblock Tango. It's been good. It's a good number. It's just we've been sorting out what we're doing.
It's been quite pacey.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done bits and then having to put all those bits together and then people being away. So it's been a bit of a struggle, but it's a really good number.
Biggest challenge? Well, you kind of already said, Zoe, you said that, you know, because it's only Wednesday nights, that makes it a challenge.
I will say also probably the large range of ages to work with the larger group numbers, trying to make sure that the choreo is hard enough for our 18-year-olds and our older cast, and then also making sure that the younger cast isn't just getting left behind and that everyone's being challenged and getting something from the experience.
Yep. Fair enough, too. So, what's something, if a dad's going to come, what do you think something that might appeal to them when we think about the songs that are being done? Or what's something that they might go, ooh, I know that song.
All everyone's songs thinking have about just gosh, gone from my
yeah,
head.
I can't remember a single song on the show now.
I think they'd quite enjoy Hawaiian Roller Coaster.
True.
Feels very dad, you know?
Yeah. No.
Hawaiian shirts and shorts, you know?
That's giving dad on
it's
vacation.
It's giving dad on vacation, right?
So, what do you think as well? So, you know, you've said, Matilda, that this is a show that's just lots of songs. So, I suppose that makes it quite different for someone that's used to a Stage Antics type show, right?
Yeah, it is. There's not really a story, but it's cabaret style things. There's not usually a story. But I think just the different songs and the different genres, it keeps it really interesting. It's not all the same. It's not just a bunch of solos, like one after the other. It's very upbeat, and it's like going from a full group number to a solo to like trios and duos and everything in between, and the range of songs from pop songs to musical theater songs. There's just a lot of difference, and it's like there's a lot to keep you on your toes and entertained.
And we're performing at, so listeners, in case you're not aware, of course, I'm the director of the show, so it always makes it quite interesting when you're interviewing your own cast in that. But yeah, so we're performing at the Pump House. So Paige, Stage Antics performed there earlier in the year. What do you like about that as a venue?
I love the Pump House because I actually really like the smaller stage. I like feeling like we don't have to run like 1,400 meters to get from one side of the stage to the other. So when Zoe makes us run across the stage like she does in every dance number,
I don't know what you mean.
A good position change.
I love a position
You're not
change.
Trying to sprint like what feels like a 40 meter stage in about 10 seconds. We have to cross maybe 5, and it's great.
Yeah, fair enough. Good. Okay. What about you? What do you like about the Pump House?
I just think the vibe, like, it's not like a big theater with like all of this like modern stuff. It's like very vintage, and I think that's really cool, and it gives like a really nice charm to a lot of shows that are on there.
Yeah. And I mean, it's when you think about where you live, for example, other than the Bruce Mason, Pump House is kind of your home area theater, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be. I see a lot of shows there, and everything, like the way the walls are, it just feels like you're part of the show. Like, it brings it out instead of you being like at the disconnect from when the stage ends and the audience starts.
Yeah, I think not having a proscenium arch is part of that too, isn't it? And you're so close, like you can literally, if you're sitting down the, if you're sitting down the front, you can reach out and literally touch the stage, right?
Yeah.
I've seen people put their wine glasses on the stage before, and that's made me really, really stressed, I will say.
Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please don't put your wine or Coke or anything on the stage, or I will be really, really stressed backstage. Thank you.
And if you're sitting in the second row seat, I think from memory, it's A5 and A6. A5 was adopted earlier this year by Kick Arts, and A6 was adopted by Stage Antics. So they are our little seats. So when you sit in them, you can be thinking about Kick Arts or Stage Antics.
Yeah.
So, Zoe, what's your favourite number in the show?
Oh, that's hard. I will say I really enjoyed choreographing Sisters. Sisters are doing it for themselves, and that was the first one that we ever taught them, the cast, I mean. I'm speaking of positions, that one has some positions in it that are complicated.
Yeah, there's a lot of pathways in that one.
I love a pathway.
And I think what I loved about that one, when we introduced that at our very first rehearsal, like for you and I, it was a song that we knew.
Yeah.
And it's something that's been really interesting. The amount of numbers that I've kind of gone, what about this? Or what about this one? And again, it kind of shows my age when the students, you know, especially the 12 and 13-year-olds, never even heard of the Eurythmics. Like, who were they? So that's a bit crazy.
That was like my jazz theatre growing upness.
Yeah.
You know, like jazz warm-up, Eurythmics. Love it.
Matilda, have you got a favourite number?
Yes, probably It's Raining Men. Zoe really killed it on the choreography for that one. It's so fun to perform. It is quite hard, but I just have so much fun when I'm performing it, and like the singing and everything, and like everyone on stage is just hyping each other up. It's just so fun to perform.
Cool. Paige, are you going to say Spellblock Tango?
I mean, I love Spellblock Tango. What can I say? This is my absolute favorite number in the show. So I love it. I love the choreography. I love the attitude. It's a great number.
And I think
it's finally done.
Now that
it's
done.
We finished it today.
Yeah.
Great. So glad.
Now, I went to Chicago last night. Matilda was there as well. It's definitely very different. So if you went to Chicago, this number is nothing like this. Unfortunately, the Pump House probably doesn't have the roof ability to hang someone up by their feet and upside down and swing them from one side of the stage to the other.
I reckon we could try with Matilda, though, if we just, like, carry her.
Oh, maybe not. That's, like, health and safety and whatnot.
No. It'll be fine.
I mean, I had to say, because Zoe, did you see Chicago?
I haven't.
You didn't?
I haven't been able to get to it.
I did. I saw it.
You did, yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you, like, totally, like, shell-shocked when they hung him upside down and swung
him?
Oh,
yeah. I was. I was, like, mouth open, eyes wide. I, like, looked at my mom and I was, like, shocked.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can we ruin it for me? Who are we talking about? Is it a character or is it an ensemble?
Yeah,
person?
Well, it's a boyfriend, Frank Paisley.
Oh.
And then he stays on the stage. So I'm sorry, please, listeners, in Wellington, in Christchurch, in Dunedin, I know
sorry.
That the show is touring to you. Close your ears right now, okay? So he stays on the stage and the cell block mistresses, he becomes the person that they killed in for each of them. But then right at the end, they hang him by his feet. They raise him above the stage and then they swing him like a pendulum.
Oh, so if this was going to happen to anyone in our version, it would be Anna.
Yeah,
oh,
it would yeah. be. It would be Anna.
I don't think Anna would be Captain Hook. I actually think she probably would be game.
I think she'd be totally for that. Hey, well, we're going to take a musical break now. So this is another new Kiwi track that's just been dropped from La Coco, and this is Linger.
Sweet birds sound, waking all the dawn.
That was really cool. And the music video that goes with it, you should check it out. So that's La Coco Linger. It's got some really awesome contemporary dance, almost kind of, what's it called? I was going to say touch compass. That's not what I mean.
I can't even think about what you're trying to tell me.
No. Style of dance when you like lean on each other and everything. Anyway. Contemporary. Gosh, you can tell that we've been in rehearsal all day today. I mean, everyone's pretty tired. But anyway, we're going to talk about you guys now. So let's start with you, Matilda. Where did theatre start, or how did theatre start for you?
I saw a show, I think it was Annie, at the Civic when I was maybe 7 or 8 with my parents. And I was just, like, fascinated by it. And I just knew straight away, I was like, I want to be on that stage. I want to be performing. And my mum was like, I think she did some drama in high school and everything. And she was all for it. She was like, yep, chuck me on stage. Let me do whatever I want to, basically. So, yeah, and I've been doing it ever since.
And have you got any highlights through that journey?
Well, I have to say stage antics. No, but Stage Antics Into the Woods is definitely, like, my favourite show I've ever been in. Incredible show. incredible cast. Everything about it was just so good. I really enjoyed it.
I thought you might have said that your biggest highlight was travelling to America.
Oh, I thought you meant shows that I was in, though. Yeah, that, like, obviously, in theatre, that was the biggest highlight. I thought you... Okay, well,
so
my bad.
So tell our listeners about that. What was that?
Yeah, that was the Kiwi All-Stars trip to America. So I auditioned to get in, and I got in.
Yay!
And so, yeah, we went to Sacramento. Yeah, Sacramento to perform in JTF over there. And that was really fun. We won an outstanding performance, I think.
Yeah. So which meant you got to perform in the big final
round in front of everyone, which was quite stressful, but really fun. We did Don the Kangaroo Jr. Great show. You should listen to the soundtrack of that. It's really good, actually.
It's got some really cute songs in it. Shout out to Daniel Stoddard and Daniel Mertzclough for their work on that one.
Yeah, incredible.
And any plans going forward with the music theatre, or is it just going to continue to be part of your life as something you do to fill your creative bucket?
Yeah, probably just going to keep it as a hobby. Obviously, if I was going to make money off of it, I wouldn't be opposed, but I'm not going to pursue it. I just think it's a very good hobby, keeps my bucket full, but not something I'd necessarily want to do full time.
Cool, fair enough then, yeah. Paige, who kicked it off for you?
I think I was about 3, and I'm an only child, and so my parents put me into, like, as many things as they could, which included dance lessons. And so I started, like, ballet and jazz and tap when I was, like, 3. And then I picked up singing when I was, like, 4, and my singing teacher at the time, I think, was, like, recommending me songs from musicals, like Cosette's song in Les Mis. Castle on a Cloud is where I, like, started. And after that, she was like, you should do, like, proper theatre. And then I did, like, school theatre. And then I moved into, like, bigger, like, community theatre. And so that's, like, what I do now, which is pretty cool.
And how old were you when you started the horse riding?
Oh, my goodness. 4, I think.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's quite an extreme.
Yeah, it is.
It's quite extreme to go from dance and singing lessons to riding horses.
I still hold on to that today. Mm. Still ride on Saturdays, do theatre during the week.
But it'll be good if ever you go into big theatre. Like, I'm just trying to think of, you know, like those stadium shows in that, like Aida, where they had the live animals. Mm. Like, you could put, or TV and film. Like, you can actually put on your resume that you ride horses.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely something to put on your special talents. Yeah, special talents. Can ride horses.
Yep. Stage agents can't afford a horse on stage.
No, sorry.
It might not be a thing that
Goodness
you do with
guys.
Me.
Come on.
Yeah. And what about you? Where are you hoping this takes you?
I'm probably the same as Matilda. Like, I'd love to pursue theatre, but it's just not, I don't think it's where my life's going. But it's definitely something that I will love to keep going with, because it is, like, such a huge part of my life. And I do really love it. But, yeah, I just don't think it'll be consistent for me.
But fair enough.
If I had the opportunity, I mean, I'm not going to turn it down.
Look, I think what's fantastic here in Auckland is the amount. And actually, Matilda, you're going down to Waikato, even down there too, the amount of community theatre. And, you know, down in Hamilton, they've got Hamilton Operatic and Hamilton Music Theatre. And very close by, they've got Morin's Villain, who do great musicals, all three of those. So, you know, you've got somewhere. And, of course, here in Auckland, we've got so many community theatres that do great shows. In fact, Zoe's in one at the moment. But before we talk about that, Zoe, tell us how that all started for you.
Oh, I started with ballet when I was little. My sister started first, and of course, sibling rivalry. She got to dance, so I said to my mum, I want to do that too. So I would go to her lessons and dance in the background and get told off. And so then mum finally realised maybe she should put her in her own lessons. And then from there, just kept going with dancing and then found my way to the stage for some theatre where I was featured dancer in those type of shows. And then went and trained full-time for 2 years, then did a commercial dance mentorship, and then COVID came and just smacked down the dreams of being a professional dancer for a second there. And so then got what me and my dancer friends call a muggle job. So I like to think that I'm a brunette Hannah Montana, where I do admin during the day and then during the night I dance and teach theatre and perform in theatre where possible. So I think that answers the question of where I'm taking theatre.
I love that idea of having a muggle job and then doing this.
Yeah, as much as I'd love to, it's just sometimes a little bit hard to do a fully arts job for money. And I think also, especially in Auckland, because there's so many people who want to do it seriously and are kind of in that step of just before they go overseas of trying to quote unquote make it, it makes it very hard, and it takes some of the love out of it that you're always kind of chasing your next creative project instead of just being able to take what comes and actually be able to enjoy it without the financial stress.
Fair enough, yeah. Because there is, I mean, I feel like there's more and more people doing theatre. And I do feel like there's more and more opportunities in New Zealand now for theatre. And there's, of course, theatre companies doing professional stuff as well, which is really good, you know, because COVID, after COVID hit, you know, we're not getting the same amount of touring shows like we used to get, you know, like you saying that, Matilda, that you saw Annie when you were little, you know, there used to be at least a professional show here from overseas at least once a year, if not more. And now we don't get as many, but it's really cool to see the likes of G&T Productions, etc., you know, with Anne Juliet coming next year and a few more pro things happening for people. But again, going back to our community theatres, I do think that because there's not a lot of professional work, the people that are in community theatre, like you said, are kind of all at the top of their game, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's great to work with that as well. I really, my brain can't flick out of professional versus amateur shows. So when I'm in a rehearsal, I'm in a rehearsal. I'm there to work, and that's fun for me. And it's really exciting to have casts and people who are the same and similar. It makes the whole environment a lot more fun.
So as a teacher of young people, what do you think, or what's your kaupapa, or what is your kind of pedagogical style? Like, what do you want it to be?
I mean, I like the fun. You're there to have fun. I understand that. But also at the same time, you are there because you've made a commitment. You're there to put on a really good show. And I have a really big thing about rehearsal etiquette. The girls are laughing at me. But when it's a quick water break, a water break is you go, you have a drink of your water, you put your water bottle down, you're back, you're ready to work. And then if it's a break, that's when you talk and stuff. And I think that's really preparing for the next step from youth theatre into adult theatre as well. Because I know that there's a lot of older performers who are even were doing it semi-professionally and now just doing it to give back to the community and also just to keep theatre in their lives, almost semi-retired, semi-professional. And I know that
those people also have their ear to the ground and will be able to say, oh, you know, that Matilda chick, she was always onto it. She always was ready to work. And if a director comes in and is like, hey, you did a show with this person, what were they like? It's great if they had a great response and were able to help there.
And both of you, because you're both in year 13 and kind of coming out of schooling, so you're kind of as well aging out of like the junior shows and things like that. If you had a piece of advice for a young person wanting to be a performer or thinking about performing, what might it be?
I would just say take it seriously. Like when you're in rehearsals, just really try your hardest to get everything in, especially like with school. If you don't have a lot of time to practice at home, just make sure the time that you dedicate to rehearsals, you're really paying attention to the choreography, to the harmonies, to everything, just so that you don't have to go home and practice as much, if that makes sense. So you keep the time at home for like homework or spending time with family. But yeah, just really paying attention and really trying really hard.
I mean, there's definitely some people that can not practice so much and get it.
Why are you nodding at me for that?
And there's other people that need to practice, but I hear you. Like, if you actually... Yeah. Well, it's kind of the same at school, right? Yeah. If you actually do your work in class when you get given time to do your work in class, well, then you don't have to take it home.
Yeah.
And if you use your study periods to actually do work instead of sit and talk or go to McDonald's, you know.
I will say that is one thing that I really am thankful for dancing in theatre, is that it has made me excellent at time management.
Well, there you go, parents listening.
That was, get your that kids was a into plus. Theater.
Yeah, get your kids into theatre and dance because it's good for learning those kind of skills. Paige, what's your piece of advice?
This is kind of cliche, but like just be confident, but not in a way where you're like, where it's just like, oh, like if you're afraid of auditions, like get over it. Not like that. It's more like be confident in yourself, because when you step into an audition room or you're in community theatre and you're with other people, the more that you stand there and you're like, I am allowed to, like, I'm here for a reason and I can take up space here and I'm allowed to do so, and having confidence in putting your foot forward, whether that's trying out some more dance or trying a different kind of song, or whether it's simply just like getting involved, that confidence is always like the first step into like really getting into theatre, because it can be a really, really scary world to be in, like especially auditions and stuff. Like I've been doing theatre like 14 years now, and like I am still terrified when I go into an audition room with people I know, like with a board I'm very familiar with. I'm still like,
I mean, it just means you care, right? Like if you're getting nervous, it just means you really, really want it.
Yeah.
I like to say that nerves are just excitement that have gotten confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right, business end of the interview then. back to Expect the Unexpected 3.0. We didn't say why it was 3.0. Do you guys know why it's 3.0?
I do.
The third version of it, is it not?
That's the third rendition.
So Expect the Unexpected was first done actually in 2017 at Auckland Music Theatre, and it kind of caught on, and then we did it again, and it was meant to be on in 2020 at at Harlequin Music Theatre, and we were actually in final dress rehearsal the night before we were due to open when Jacinda shut the country down. So we were literally sitting there thinking that we were going on the next day, and at 9 o'clock at night we were just at the bowels of dress rehearsal, and the president actually came up to me and said, look at this. And I was like, no. So
I would have cried.
Yeah, so it went on a hiatus for a little while, and then we were able to put it back on when we opened up to restrictions of being allowed 100 people. And it was really cute because we actually put the bar on the stage, so people came in and we had all these front of house team with masks and fluoro. We made them fluoro masks and they had fluoro vests. And they came to you in your seat and took your order and went to the bar and got your drink and then came back to the seat.
Yeah.
And everyone was spaced out with the space beside and the space behind and everything.
Mm.
And so that was then. And then this is now the third iteration, but this is our first youth one.
Yeah.
So the Harlequin one did have a youth cast in it, which featured some well-known Stage Antics Whānau members, including Katie Rose and Sophia Pimbleton and Ratatai and Tia Ormsby. And, yeah, so this is really cool to have 22, 18 and under, and it's definitely been a thing. So where do people get tickets?
You can get tickets from the Pump House website. If you look on to the What's On page, we should be the top thing that's there because we're up next.
Yeah. And there's only like about 20 tickets left. No. We're only doing one show on Saturday the 16th. So get in because the 22 performers really deserve a full house. So
full house and a standing ovation, if I...
Okay, yeah, and a standing ovation.
Add that in.
And there's a few unexpected surprises and different things along the way. Mm. So, yeah, very quickly, what do audience members expect, Matilda?
That the show will be on a stage.
Great. What else might they expect, Paige?
That there will be numbers and performers in it.
There's numbers and performers, yeah. Anything else that they might expect?
They can expect to be thoroughly entertained and just have a really great time.
Cool. Something from each of you that's unexpected.
We'll go with some costume changes, some real fun costume changes.
Cool.
Helium balloons.
Great.
Oh, some fun friends.
Some fun friends. Fantastic. Well, hey, thanks, guys. It's been a huge day for you. As I said, we had rehearsal all day. Really appreciate you coming out on a Sunday night to be with us on Kick Arts. Now, to play these guys out, we've got a past junior theatre person, actually, from Aotearoa called Verity, and this is their latest track called... Oh, my goodness, I'm tripping over my teeth and my mouth, and I'm so tired. It's so hard. Yeah, I need to do some vocalising. But anyway, this is Verity with Sober Strangers.
I've met his friend Johnny, I've met his friend Jim, I've met his friend Mary, but I've never met him. Glass always full, house always wins. It's always been fun, but it's never been real. Fun if we're forgetting all the fun that you steal. I'll see you at the bottom, that was always the deal. Another night that's far too long, another dance, another song, another glass that turns to dawn. Oh, another day that turns to night, another drink, another fight, another hits, another high. Why sober strangers? I'ma love you now, but I'ma meet you later.
is no more meet you later, sober stranger.
And that was Verity with Sober Strangers. Apologies for the swearing in there, but, you know, we always say if it's in context. And as I said earlier, Verity is a New Zealand performer who's been doing lots of work over in America. So it's great seeing work coming. Some of you may have seen her in Christmas in the Park in the last few years. So check her out. And now, my studio guests have left and I'm being joined, and I'm not quite sure where Jodie's beaming in from, but on the telephone I've got author Jodie Shelley. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Whereabouts in Aotearoa are you tonight?
I'm beaming into you from the beautiful East Auckland.
Oh,
just on the other side.
Just on the other side. No worries. Now, the funny thing was, we just had a Zoe in the studio, and believe it or not, the show that they were talking about also has Amila in it. So we're here to talk about your new book, Zoe Amila.
Yes, isn't that cool? That's a nice little connection.
It sure is. So tell us, what is this novel all about?
I'd love to tell you all about it. So at the heart of it, it is a humorous Kiwi novel that's about a couple of friends, Zoe and Mila. And Zoe owns a boutique recruitment agency and she's hired a spectacularly awful young man to be her receptionist. She's kind of struggling to manage him. And her best friend Mila finds that she's pregnant with her fifth child, despite having not really been sure whether she wants to have more than one. And despite her husband Ollie's vasectomy about a year or so ago. Dun, dun, dun. And their lives take a bit of a turn toward the chaotic when the company foosball table goes missing, and in the effort to try and get it back, they get caught up with a bit of a dangerous gang. So, and then the underlying theme of the story is the futility of the beauty duty. Like, why do we subscribe to one form of beauty, and why couldn't we just instead love ourselves just the way we are?
Well, that now explains why there's a... I was going to ask you. There's a foosball table on the cover of your novel.
There is. Yep. It stands out quite boldly, but, yeah, that's why, because that's the central theme, sort of this foosball table goes missing and then they go in to have a sort of late-night adventure trying to get it back and getting caught up in all sorts of hijinks.
Now, tell me, where does someone get the inspiration to write a play, a book like this? Like, where did this come from? Because I'm sure you don't know a company that's lost a foosball table.
That is true. I do not know a company that's lost a foosball table. Well, the inspiration for this book came from a couple of conversations with friends. So one of my friends described her baby in cut. Adorable baby, I must say, in really unfavourable terms. And it just tickled my fancy the way that she was talking about him. So that became the starting chapter. And I just kind of followed things from there. And another conversation with a different friend, this friend that I have, she has a hair and makeup business. And she's all about us being uniquely beautiful. So finding our own unique style of beauty and not feeling like we have to kind of follow the pack and do all the things. And so I really liked that. I got inspired by her and what she stands for. And so that's, yeah, she's really been the inspiration for the underlying story, really.
And this is not your first novel. This must be, is this your fourth or fifth now?
This is actually my third. The first one came out in 2023. My book that came out last year was 1,000 Paper Cups. It was 2024. This one's my 25. And then I've got another one that I'm mostly, it's written, but it just is, I'm doing some quite heavy lifting in terms of editing, and that's going to be my 2026 release. But, yeah, this is my third, this one.
So that's kind of quite, I mean, it's each year. So is that roughly, you know, how long does it take you to write it before, say, it gets into that edit stage?
Yeah.
Or do you edit the whole time?
Yeah, I try to edit a lot. Like, I do try to edit every day. Like, I'll write the night before, and then in the morning I'll try and edit what I've written. That works quite well for me as a practice once I'm in full-blown writing mode. It tends to take me about 2 years from start to finish, like picking up a pen to getting the book launched. It normally takes me about 2 years, but what's happening is that it's all overlapping so that I can get one out every year. So, for example, when the first book went off to go to the copy editor, for example, I picked up the second book and started writing that. When the book came back from the copy editor, then I put the second one down and started back on the first, and so they sort of overlap a little bit, and that's pretty much how I can get them out each year. It's just doing a little bit every day. It's just getting into that practice of just moving forward, just a little bit of progress every day, even if it's just writing 500 words one day. You know, it might just be a page, but at least if you're making forward momentum every single day, eventually, well, at least for me, eventually a book emerges from the chaos. So
yeah, I was just going to say to you, do you have kind of like a process? So like you said, sometimes you write at night and then you edit in the morning.
Yeah, that tends to work for me. I also set myself little goals. So like when I'm in writing mode, I'll trick myself into writing 500 words or so. All I have to do is 500 words. And then by the time you actually sit down and you write your 500 words, normally you get into a bit of a flow, and I might end up writing, you know, 1,000 or 1,500 or something like that. When I'm in editing mode, like I am at the moment with my fourth book, where it's just pure editing and no writing, I'll promise myself that I'll edit a chapter. You know, I'll just edit one chapter tonight. But you tend to just keep going once you get started. It's really, it's like when you go into the gym, it's just getting your shoes on and getting out the door is the hardest. But once you get going, it's fine. And then, you know, when I'm doing kind of promoting or getting ready for a launch, it's just like half an hour. What can I get done in half an hour? And I'll, you know, just make progress just a little bit every day, and it seems to work for
me.
Some strange reason.
And was writing something that you always thought that you would end up doing? Like, were you a good English student at school?
I loved English, yeah. English was my absolute best subject at school. I never really thought that I would be a writer or an author, though. I really struggled. I was one of those kids that didn't know what they wanted to do when they grew up. So I really had no idea. But since I've kind of started doing this writing work and had a bit more space, and, you know, because I've left my corporate life behind about 3 years ago, and now I'm sort of feeling like I'm living this more spacious life where I've got more time to kind of think and reflect. And I reflected back on my corporate existence and thought about the pieces of work that I really enjoyed doing, and it was always writing related. So it was things like, you know, writing my part of the board report, or I don't know, writing a company comms, or writing a good argument and to take to mediation or something like that. You know, it was always, looking back, I can recognise it now that it was just the writing part that I loved. So it's quite nice. It's quite nice to be able to look back and go, oh, that's why that appealed, is because that's, you know, obviously was always a passion. I just hadn't kind of lived it yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. So if we were to look at your bedside table or your coffee table, who are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading Trent Dalton. I'm reading his book, All Our Shimmering Skies, I think it is. He's the guy that wrote Lola in the Mirror, and there's another one that's escaping me at the moment. So I'm reading him at the moment. He came to the Auckland Writers Festival this year and last year, actually, and he's just awesome. He writes some amazing things. He's an Australian. So, yeah, that's what I'm reading at the moment. At night I am trying to read my next book because I'm doing editing at night as well. So I try and do a little bit on that. That's working title is Picking Lemons, but it's about a guy called Barry that lives in a retirement village and gets up to lots of mischief.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's going to be good. He loves to sort of make mischief for the care facilities manager. Her name's Cheryl, but he's a bit of a nuanced character because he likes to swear and he likes to break the rules and he gets into trouble. But he's a real generous and kind soul, and he likes doing kind things for the other residents. Not so much for Cheryl, but definitely the other residents. But he doesn't really like a lot of attention for it. He just goes about doing good things and just gets out and doing it and, you know, just, yeah, little quiet, gentle things that he does. And the underlying theme for this one is the gap between the haves and the have-nots and the cruelty of dementia. Explores that in that setting. It's quite, you know, it lends itself to that. So, yeah, that'll be hopefully it'll be a good one. It's meant to be coming out next year.
Well, we look forward to catching up with you again in a year's time to talk more about that one. But in the meantime, obviously, people can get hold of Zoe and Mila by Jodie Shelley, published by Bank Street Publishing, at, am I right in saying, all good bookstores?
Well, it's actually a self-published book, so it is in the Unity bookshop in Wellington, but that's about the only bookshop at this stage. So they can go to my website, which is jodieshelleywrites.com. If there's any librarians listening, they can get it from Wheelers. Wheelers is the company that supplies the libraries. Or they can get it on ebook on Amazon.
Fantastic. And a good ebook, definitely more popular these days, especially in Auckland traffic, having something to listen to.
Yeah, it's not on audio.
Not yet, just an ebook. Okay.
No, it's definitely there for Kindle. Yeah.
Great. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for ringing in on a Sunday night, and we look forward to picking up and having a look at how Zoe and Mila managed to get back their foosball table.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you.
Good night.
Now, another new Kiwi track. We talked to her a few weeks ago from Queenstown. It was Marla, and she's just dropped her second track, and this is called Tainted Memories.
Dissipated, you ran for the hilltop, but you took the key. My head, you've cursed all my enemies.
as I said, that was Marla. I feel very quiet. I might put my dial up. There we go. That was Marla from Queenstown with her second track, Tainted Memories. Check her out on Spotify and all those good sound places that you go to listen to music. See, I'm an old person. She's got a really, really avid... Avid's not the right word. Her TikTok is rife, so check her out on there. There we go. I've changed my studio again, so it's still me being crazy on the buttons and things. In fact, one of our next guests said that last time they were here, it was just Stephen. So this time, it's just me. But there's four of them, so I'm outnumbered. But anyway, Rising Stars Productions New Zealand. Kia ora and good evening to you all. I should turn your microphones on so we can hear you.
Kia ora, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
See, four voices. So we've got a director. Good evening, Nick.
Hello. Yes.
Have you been on Kick-Arts before?
No, I have not. This is my first time.
Oh, there you go. Mm. And we've got the dancing queen herself. Good evening, Melody.
Good evening.
You've been on Kick-Arts before.
I have not been on
You have not been?
Oh. I don't think so.
Oh, but you've been in so many shows.
I've been avoiding you.
I know. Rude. Rude. And we've got a performer. Hello, Paris.
Hi. So excited to be here.
Because you haven't been on Kick-Arts before.
No, I haven't. This is my first time.
Is this your first radio interview?
It actually is, yeah.
So that makes it doubly exciting.
Exactly. Double whammy right there.
Awesome. And down the end, we have Mr. Maestro himself.
Indeed.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hello. I have been on Kick-Arts before, yes.
Yeah, more than once?
Just once.
Just once.
My mother's been on twice, I think, but
really?
At least, yeah. Mika Austin for her shows with ArtSense Productions.
Oh.
I don't know if you were here for those. But,
no, that may have been, because remember, Steve and I have only been here for 5 years. And
this was this year and last year it would have been.
Well, look, I'm the nasty one that's always away travelling around the world doing musical theatre stuff.
Yes.
And normally Stephen has to deal with me not being here.
I think it would have been with Stephen.
And now he's directing a show in Tauranga and is away for literally 3.5 months. Every Sunday. Oh, hi, no. Stephen. Oh, I know you're not listening to me on Sunday night, but I know that you are hearing this as you drive home on Monday after rehearsal for Jersey Boys. So Sunday day rehearsal, Monday night rehearsal, then he drives home.
Wow.
So, you know, impressive. Here I am complaining that I've been rehearsing all day and he's doing two rehearsals and then driving home. But anyway, we're not here to talk about us. We're here to talk about you. Nick, tell us, first of all, a little bit about Rising Star Productions.
Yeah. So this is a production company put together by our friend Hugo and our other friend Matthew Curtis. Put together last year, and it's just a group of friends putting on shows that we want to do that are fun. Our first show was The Trail to Oregon, which was last year in the middle of the year. And that was a small cast, very improvisation heavy, a lot of fun, lots of comedy, lots of good songs, and we just had a blast. And we realized we wanted to keep making awesome shows, so we've kept doing it.
And you were in Trails of Oregon?
I was in Trails of Oregon, yes. I played the grandpa. It was a hilarious role that I loved doing so much, yeah.
Very cool. Mm. Well, should I turn to Hugo and ask, what is the ABCs of musicals?
The ABCs of musical theatre is a cabaret that Nick came up with Georgia.
Georgia had a lot of input in this one. Yes.
So Georgia is another cast member who is currently in America with
Broadway Dreams.
With Broadway Dreams. Which is very exciting. And she left knowing all of her material for our show, which is very important.
Snaps.
Yes, exactly.
Snaps, yeah.
But the ABCs of musical theatre takes you on a journey from A to Z in musical theatre songs. So starting with a song that begins with the letter A, all the way through 26 songs to Z.
Oh,
and it's very, very educational, and it's a very good time, and it's very, very serious and not at all humorous at all. Not
so
at all.
That is completely different to what I thought it was.
Oh,
what did you think it was?
Well, because I just thought that maybe it was going to be more like a teaching of theatre etiquette through songs.
Oh. So, that's our, you know, next show. Thank you very much.
It's an iteration of it. Yeah, so I kind of thought that you might be doing songs about, I don't know, people that open noisy popcorn packets or, you know, theatre companies that don't have Pringles pots, they have chip packets. Who does that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think we did that at our first two shows, but now we know.
You learn.
So 26 numbers. Karis, how many of the 26 numbers are you in?
Oh, that's such a good question. So ensemble numbers, how many would you say there are?
Last I checked, it was more than 2 and less than 26.
Okay, beautiful.
Somewhere around the 10 mark, I think. Yeah. Is that right?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Well, I would say I've got one solo, and I am doing a bunch of other fun little solo moments, and then also singing with a bunch of other people for a lot of everyone. Honestly, is just involved so much in the show.
Mm.
I think everyone, you know, is gonna have their shining moment, which is really cool. Yeah, it's just gonna be such a fun show, and the coolest thing about it is that all the cast, we're all just such good friends. And so I think that really shines through and kind of translates to the stage, which is really cool.
Awesome. Now, Melody, you've been in the first two productions.
Yes.
If we count Trails of Oregon and the cabaret that you did last year.
Yes.
It was last year.
So, but this time you're on the other side of the table.
Yes.
So how many numbers are you choreographing?
I think I did five,
yeah,
right?
That sounds right. Yeah,
five. Yeah. Which last cabaret I did actually choreograph, I think just one number, and then for Child of Oregon I did a couple as well. So, but this time we kind of stepped it up. Yeah, and not only are the numbers harder, but there's more of them. So
yeah,
it's been quite the undertaking compared to the other two.
And I've been watching your social media now. By looks of things, there's lots of different genre in these numbers as well.
Yes.
So are you having to choreograph not just musical theatre jazz?
Yeah, well, there's a tap number, which is, so I haven't gotten to choreograph. I haven't tapped in a long time because my tap teacher retired. But,
how rude.
I know.
Did they not know you needed a teacher?
Dare she. But, yeah, so I haven't tapped in a long time. I haven't choreographed tap in a long time. So I'm very happy that they had a tap number because I've had such good fun. And then also there's like a tango-y couple number that has also kind of tested my limits as well, because I've never, ever done anything like that. So, yeah, there's a couple, you know, normal theatre numbers. But, yeah, there's been a couple that have been really interesting and have taught me a lot, actually.
Very cool. Now, Nick, if this is 26 musical numbers, what does a director do when they're all musical numbers?
Yeah. It's been an interesting journey to discover that, because this is my first time directing a show. Initially, there was a lot of planning around putting everything together, how it's all going to flow in a nice show where it's not just all the big ensemble numbers at the beginning and then lots of solos to end it out. So a lot of my job has been fixing that all together, making sure it runs nicely. But then, aside from the dance numbers choreographed by Melody, which are looking incredible, everyone's got little solo numbers and little duet numbers and small group stuff, which we have blocked the entire thing and added performance, added character to every one of them, and it's looking and sounding amazing. And that's what I really liked about this one, because whereas our last cabaret was a lot more of a concert feel, where it was people singing and really having that energy and the performance, this is a performance the whole way through, with everyone acting, dancing. Mm. Everyone is a character. No one's just themselves singing a song. So it's been great.
Yeah,
it's been great fun.
Yeah.
So does that mean people are 26 different characters if you're doing songs? Are there any songs from the same show, or is every 26, all the 26 songs from different shows? Does that make
sense? There are two that are from the same show, but I won't tell you what they are, because that spoils it. And I won't tell you what the show is, because I think people coming to see the show might guess what the second one is by the time it rolls around. I'm right in saying it's only two from the same show, and then everything else is from from different shows. Yeah.
So that means they're playing a different character in each number?
Yeah. Mm. Absolutely.
There's I actually didn't think of it like that.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. That's a really good point. Yeah.
There's a lot of switches between roles. There's a lot of costume changes that we're going to start running in the next couple of weeks that are quite intense. But yeah.
And that's probably something you had to consider in your planning as well. Like, how long do people need?
Yeah.
So, like, you don't want to have a huge, awesomely dressed number straight after another awesomely dressed number that's going to take a massive costume change.
Yeah, we wouldn't
want
to put four massive ensemble numbers right in a row.
Yeah, that would...
That would be really difficult if we did that.
At the end of Act 1,
I felt a touch of sarcasm there.
Yes, well...
It's okay, because I don't have to deal with the costume changes.
No, Nick has to deal with it, and he decided those numbers were going there.
Yeah. They are epic numbers.
Though. They are incredible numbers.
Very good choices by Nick. There are four big numbers
that end off Act 1. We run through most of them today, and worked on the transitions between them, and it's working really well, I think. But it was interesting, because... the first one of those is the tap number, and then it goes straight into a full ensemble number. And we suddenly realized we like both these numbers and want to keep them, but there's a group of people that are going to need to change from tap shoes into regular shoes. So then what we decided is...
Put elastics in their tap shoes.
That we should do that.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But what we've actually done... That's a great idea. Instead, we've decided to put a little scene in there. And
there is
a little skit that breaks us out of all the characters.
Don't call it a skit, please.
It's a very serious scene.
It's a drama teacher's pet hate when people call things skits. It's like when teachers turn up to my room and go, I just need some costumes because we're doing a skit. I'm like, well, you can't use my costumes if you're doing a skit.
Well, we are doing a very serious dramatic scene.
Beautiful!
That interconnects these two numbers and then has a story that follows on throughout the rest of the show. And what that is, we won't give away at this point. But
so tell me, how many people in the cast in total?
13 in the cast, which is our biggest cast to date by one person.
Yeah, so 13 people with even the 8 ensemble numbers. That's, here's Emma doing maths, 104 costumes just in the ensemble numbers.
I think there's some double ups, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
The costumes has been a lot of fun to work with. We've got Izzy, one of our cast members, who's been taking a lot of lead on that, and has been working with the studios that we work at, which is Geronimo, to use their costume department very graciously and putting together a lot of pieces for that. Most of it is quite simplistic, but we've decided to, you know, go all out and have some of them, and it's looking really cool by what she's been planning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's at your usual performance venue at Sacred Heart?
Yes.
It is indeed, yes.
Yeah. And what's it like performing there, Paris?
I actually wouldn't know.
Because you haven't performed there yet.
No.
So if you're not rehearsing there, where have you been rehearsing?
Well, we've been rehearsing the dance stuff at Geronimo Dance Studios. And, yeah, it's been an amazing kind of environment to be in. The room is very echoey.
So echoey.
So bad. Yeah. But the acoustics are great.
The other night where you were all in the dark
that was Hugo's home.
So is that a regular place too?
We rehearse in my mum's living room.
It's great.
Which is really nice because everyone can sit around on couches and feel relaxed, and my mum does lots of shows and she likes having us around and listening to us. She says you guys sound great, by the way. I don't think I've passed that on. She's very, very much enjoying
it. Thanks,
Hugo. And,
So was that just atmospheric conditioning, like you creating a mood in rehearsal to have it all dark and with candles? Was that like to create some kind of ambience, or what was that all about?
Not quite. I was having my dinner before rehearsal.
Good on you. Vocal health, energy, making
exactly,
sure you've had dinner.
Exactly.
Yep, filled up.
And as it was heating up, everything turned off. And we had...
Did you put tinfoil in the microwave?
Not this time. No, that last show I did. No. We had a full-on blackout at about 6:30 before a 7 o'clock rehearsal. And people showed up to rehearsal. I put something in our group chat saying, just be aware, it's a bit dark here right now.
Did they bring their own candles, or did you have enough?
No, we thankfully had some candles in the garage. But people showed up to rehearsal and said, "Oh, maybe we should play some board games and wait for the power to come back on." And I said, "Absolutely not. The speaker has battery. The piano is acoustic," and we made it work. And it was really nice. The power came back on, and we decided to turn off all the lights and keep rehearsing in the dark. It was a lot of fun.
The vibe was really nice, actually.
Yeah.
Sometimes things like that are really good for a show as well, because it's another moment to bring you together, isn't it? To
Absolutely.
Create that kind of community sense of realness.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, we are very privileged to have a cast full of people who we know and love and have performed with before, and it's just such a good vibe in all of our rehearsals. Everyone gets along really well. I'm sure people have performed in shows before where maybe there's some backstage drama and things like that, and we just never have any of that happening because everyone loves everyone, and it's amazing. And we get together for game nights, and we had some costume/prop making night a little while ago, which yielded some fantastic results as well. We rehearsals kind of just feel like getting together and hanging out in a way. We do have to watch it and make sure we get stuff done as well. But
I'm trying to make a petition to keep the rehearsals going just to hang out with everyone.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That is so good. Now, support that. Can I sign that?
Yeah.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
So, Nick, we heard earlier that one of your cast is away. Now, you have assembled a cast of very busy people. And I know that they say, if you want something done, ask a busy person. Very true. What has that meant for you as a director when it comes to rehearsals and scheduling and dealing with people who live way up in Whangaparoa and have to drive all the way down, or are doing another show at the same time, or have gone to America? I love how he's pondering this question.
When was the last time we had everyone at a rehearsal, Nick?
So our last rehearsal where we had every single person in the cast present would have been about 2 months ago. And we're not going to have another one for another 2 weeks. And it will be our last rehearsal before we go into the theatre where we finally have everyone here.
Yep.
Fortunately, if it was any other show, we wouldn't have started in the beginning this show. But because of the way the show operates and the way it runs, it's worked really well because it means the people who are there, we can focus on the stuff that they're in and then teach it to them. And then when those people move away and new people who haven't been at the rehearsals come in, we can focus on the stuff they're in. And it's shockingly been quite smooth. We put out a schedule at the beginning and asked everyone for their absences. We knew obviously a lot of people were involved with other shows and would have things coming up and would be going to America. And we put it all down on paper and said, this looks scary. But it's, it's gone really well. And a lot of that has to fall on the cast themselves and Melody, who has been incredible in not only going over their stuff at home and working and rehearsing in their own time and catching up, and then also Melody with her incredible patience in rehearsals with teaching these dances to everyone. It's been incredible, and it's been run really smoothly, and everyone's picked everything up.
And I think actually things like COVID and that have made us aware of illness now. Like, we actually don't want people that are, say, sick coming into our space.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think we're much more lenient.
We're forgiving.
And, you know, I think back to years ago, if people rang and said, I'm feeling sick, I'd be like, are you dying?
Yeah. Literally. That is so true.
Get your butt here. Yeah. And now when someone rings me and goes, I'm not feeling very well. I've got a really sore throat and my nose is running. I'm like, well, don't come near me.
That is so real.
And so I think as directors and creatives, we've actually quite changed our ethos, which is a really good thing in the sense of cast well-being, we're not forcing people to be there. I mean, obviously, if it's the first day in rehearsal and they can put a mask on and even be a warm body in the space, sure, within reason. Yeah. Within reason. But, sure. You know, and if you had to create lots of videos so that people can rehearse at home and away from you that haven't been there? Or?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Everyone's, some people who were involved in another show, but for the most part, everyone's been here. But, like, bits and bobs, you know what I mean? Like, the amount of times I've had to go over the same dance over and over again, I'm actually going to lose my mind. Because they come in, some people come in, I teach to them, and then they leave, some other people come in, I teach to them. I'm happy you're here, because Paris is always at rehearsal. So she's basically become my teaching assistant. I'm just like, Paris, what's the leg? Like, what's this move? Yeah. Like, what am I doing? So
it's more the placement that's the issue.
It is. You're so right.
I hate blocking and I hate choreography.
Yeah.
When you've kind of got to go, why doesn't this look right? Oh, because you're leaving a space for that person that's in the third row there. Mm. Oh, we're doing a box step around each other. Who's missing? Who's missing? Yeah. And then, you know, you're constantly changing it.
Yeah. And you know what's even worse is when, and this was also an issue when we were doing Wedding Singer this morning, but in the couple number, when a couple's not there, like one person's there and the other person isn't there, and that poor person, especially if they haven't learned it, and not even dancing by themselves, just standing there because they can't do anything.
I have had to do a lot of kind of coupling up with people that haven't had their partners.
You're an absolute godsend. Like, I couldn't do it without you. I'm serious.
It's been cool. I've learned that I can, because I get to play the man in the role. So, you know, it's been great. But I've learned that I can pick up some people. So it's cool. Yeah.
It's fantastic. Right. Well, we're going to go down the line and hear a little bit more about you prior to the ABCs of musical theatre. So, Nick, where did it start for you? What got you into theatre?
Oh, goodness. Let's think back.
Were you three and were you in front of a TV?
I would have been very young at a play centre, pushing on shows and forcing my brothers and friends to watch them as I did them. That was the start for me. But yeah, it's always just been something I've been interested in. I've always had a passion for it. Drama, singing, dance. And yeah, I've just never really stopped. And it's always been a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Yeah. What about you, Melody? Was it mum and dad forcing you into lessons, or did you force mum and dad to put you into lessons?
The funny thing is I never really had, like, formal lessons. I mean, my granddad, on my dad's side, tours country music in Australia, and still does. He's still going. He's amazing. Sometimes I'd sing with him, and I was, you know, I was squeaky. I sound like a mouse, but I really enjoyed singing. And then, I don't know, there was like a random show of Beauty and the Beast in my area, and we were like, yeah, let's do it. And I got cast as the Rose, best role of my life. And then I did Annie and Sound of Music, which were both touring productions, which I just kind of fell into, and I was so lucky to be able to be cast in them. And then that made me fall in love with the industry, and it just made me realize, oh my gosh, I want to do this for the rest of my life. But the good thing about that, those two, was that it was also hard. There were a lot of really awful moments that I, you know, that were sad in the time, but they really taught me a lot about the hardships of theatre as well. So it was nice, because my entry point into theatre was both, I saw like the max highs of like the highest of the highs. I saw the most beautiful parts of theatre, but I also saw like the darkness. And it, I don't know, it came together in a really beautiful way, and it made me realise, if I can handle this and I still want to do it, I'm going to do it, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
And then, of course, last year was quite a big year for you.
Yeah.
Last year? Year before, when did you film that? 2 years
last
ago.
Last year. Yeah, early last year, yeah. Yeah.
So for our listeners that don't know, what are we talking about?
I was cast in a TV show last year called Happiness, and it's set in Tauranga, and it's all about musical theatre. You should watch it if you haven't. Like, ooh, why are you even listening to Kick-Ass if you haven't even watched it? It's on 3, it's free. But that was insane. That was so random. It was just like an open call. Like, I didn't even have an agent at the time. And it was actually, interestingly enough, it was a call, open call for like an ensemble member. And they just went, yeah, like, come in for an ensemble member. And then somehow I just got called back for a character out of the blue, and then I got it. So it was, yeah, and it was so cool. I got to work with so many amazing people, and I got connected with a lot of really cool people in theatre, and it's kind of jump-started my career in a lot of ways.
Awesome. So, like she said, 3+, Happiness.
Yes.
It's a great series.
Watch it.
I loved it.
It's very good.
Good.
Paris, how did it start for you?
Started probably at a young age, as most do, but I don't know, I just always really liked singing and all things, you know, on stage, kind of in the spotlight, that sort of thing. But yeah, I think it just started within, like, you know, primary school, like doing little school shows. And I was too young to audition for like the lead roles. And I was probably the most determined little year four you'd ever meet. And so I, you know, kind of forced my way into auditioning. And yeah, they allowed me to, you know, get a role even if I wasn't old enough. And so then I kind of just kept going from there, school shows. And then I started doing youth theatre and community theatre. And I've found really my love for theatre in the community theatre, just because it's just such a nice environment to be in. You make such wonderful friends and, you know, yeah, it's just a really fun time. And I've always loved, you know, singing, acting and dancing. So, yeah.
Amazing. Was it Mum, Hugo?
It was Mum. I did not like musicals when I was a kid because my experience of musicals was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which if you're a child is terrifying, and Mary Poppins, which if you're like an 8-year-old boy is just not very interesting. And then my sister and my mum auditioned for a production of Oliver. And they said, oh, Hugo, you should come audition. So my first theatre show was Oliver with my sister and my mum and my younger cousin as well, all in the show together. And I think that's the only time my mother and I have ever performed together. And that was, when was that? That was a while ago. Yeah.
And what about the piano playing and stuff? When did that kick in?
I started piano lessons when I was 5 or 6 years old with my piano teacher was the same woman who taught my mother piano and my aunt piano.
Wow.
She was such a wonderful teacher and I was such a bad student. Sorry, Rayma. Yeah. I played piano for 8 years and I'm very much a kind of note basher in rehearsals. And I try and avoid playing what tracks can as much as possible. But I really started doing theatre in year 9 at high school because I played guitar in my high school's production of Hair. And then I played guitar the year after, then I danced in the show the year after that, then I played trombone the year after that, and then I was a lead in my Year 13 production, or a supporting role in my Year 13 production.
So you're one of these musical director musicians that kind of plays multiple instruments?
Yes, yeah. Guitar is my main instrument, but I also play trombone in a community big band, and I was the trombonist in my friend's ska band for his 40th birthday party a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Which was one of the greatest experiences playing music in my life. It was so much fun. But yes, I play a few instruments and I love music and I love theatre. I didn't used to, but I do now.
So that music and theatre is your life now?
Yeah, music and theatre, and I do audio and lighting stuff like as my day job, so it's kind of all shows and all performance and all. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, it's yeah. I mean, and that's really cool because like our listeners heard Zoe earlier talking about how she has a muggle job during the day,
yes.
And then she's a performer at night. You know, and
yeah.
But for you to be able to say that you are living the life in theatre and. With multiple different hats, but you're still doing that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's the best.
So we might as well do a really quick plug of what's coming up next for some of you, because Melody, you're very busy at the moment. You've just kicked off another show.
Yeah, well, actually, funnily enough, three of the four people in this room are doing that show also. Yeah, we're doing Wedding Singer over in, it was Centre Stage in Orewa. I'm choreographing with the lovely Maxwell, and then these Paris and Nick are in the show. So, yeah, very far away from where I live, but that's okay.
Carpooling.
Yeah, carpooling. Yeah.
Yeah.
It works, yeah. But, yeah, it's really cool. It's my first show up there, and it's we had our first rehearsal, well, first, like, proper rehearsal today, and it's great fun. It's really
awesome.
Cool.
Okay, so that means I know what you two are doing next, because you're performing.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are you doing next, Hugo?
Well, my next show is a very special one for me, because I'm doing the lighting design and sound design for my primary school's next production.
What?
Which was written by my English teacher when I was in year 7, and then he was my drama teacher in high school as well. So that's very exciting. That's my next show after this one. It's literally... we close the show on a Saturday, and then Monday I'm in the theatre for that. And then after that, I'm musical directing Newsies Junior, which I'm so excited about, because I love Newsies Junior. I was Race in 2022 when I did it. And that's
with Selwyn, right?
Yes, with Selwyn. Mm. Selwyn Community Arts Theatre.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And there's still a few places left for people if they want to do Newsies. If you've got a budding performer out there, age 13 to 18, who wants to come along in the school holidays and spend a week with stage antics and Hugo doing music. Oh, I'm the director of that. And, you know, register now. Or if you've got a 7 to 13-year-old, the big one, O Junior, is also available, being directed by the team from Kids for Drama. So
yeah,
if you
Thomas
went and saw
and
if you went and saw Lightning Thief, it's the team that put on the Lightning Thief doing that, as well as Katie Dallow, who's flying back from Australia to choreograph that one. So yeah, great way to spend school holidays.
Oh yeah.
That was a big jump sideways. we're coming to the end of the night. Look, I haven't even played a song. I'm not even probably going to play our outro song. So tell me though, we're going to hand it back to the director. Yes. Where do people get tickets?
They can find their tickets at our website, risingstarproductions.co.nz.
www.risingstarproductions.co.nz. Sometimes it doesn't work if you don't do the www.
Really?
For some reason. Don't know why. Looked into it, can't figure it out.
Well.
But www.risingstarproductions.co.nz.
Yeah.
It's on the front page when you get there. Yeah. Super easy to find.
And if people want to find out more before they book tickets, or, I mean, they should be booking tickets, but
absolutely,
they can follow, you know, I've talked tonight about me seeing lots of social media. What's the handle?
Rising Star Productions NZ.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
At Rising Star Productions NZ on Instagram. Look up Rising Star Productions NZ on Facebook. We post a lot more on Instagram. We put the serious
that's
important
your,
stuff on
that's
Facebook.
That's more your demographic, though.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah. Yes. Not many people our age are checking Facebook often. I forget to post some of the stuff that I post on our Facebook account, on my personal account, over on Facebook. So Instagram is where it's at for us.
Well, it's been a great night. As I said, we've already run out of time. In fact, if I put this dial up, I bet our outro's playing right now. It is. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in tonight to Kick Arts. Go out there and kick some ass.
Brush your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some art. Go kick some